fighting for America.
There is a problem in the Middle East. Mad Islamists.
We're close today to 2,000 rockets have been fired from Gaza on our cities.
Utter just destruction. Everything's been destroyed. I'm just overwhelmed.
Fighting for Idaho.
Harry Reid lives in the Ritz-Carlton in Washington, D.C. And I'm sure from his perspective, the border seems secure. President Obama and Harry Reid, both divorced from the facts and divorced from the reality.
Fighting for you.
Here we have a few members of the establishment who are trying to say, we know what you did at the convention, but forget that. Go enjoy your beer, ride your ATV, and watch sports. We'll run the country.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Remember who your friends are.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, K. Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate it. Joining us now is someone who's got the attention of a lot of people. He ran for the Republican nomination, that of the Attorney General. He's an attorney. He's a great guy. And now he's with us here to talk about the, well, we thought we were going to talk about just the state of things, but darn it, Chris Troupas is a newsmaker once again. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm all right. I was talking to Barry Peterson earlier today. And I said, you know, I wonder what's up with Barry. And then I got a call from you and a call from Barry last night. And we had already scheduled you to be on the program today. And lo and behold, we're making news. So I would ask you how you're doing.
I'm doing just fine. I think this what we did in filing this complaint was just something that had to be done. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. It kind of depends on whether the judge that we get looks at the case and decides it based upon a rule of law. But you know as well as I do, it's involves politics. I filed it because I felt that the integrity of the process and the rights of all the 527 convention delegates and the Republican Party's standing, it had to be preserved, and we had to make this statement.
Now, Chris Troupas, the last time we had you on, you gave the old Kevin Miller answer. Well, you could be right, but, you know, fighting the process might destroy the party, and then you file this suit.
Well, you know, now I'm acting as an attorney, Kevin, and not acting politically, and as an attorney, I represent the chairman and also six members of the executive committee. Who are also convention delegates, and I went through a lot of angst about filing this because originally I thought, well, we're going to have to sue the Republican Party. When after I did all the research and analysis, I realized we're defending the Republican Party. We're really defending the idea that a party has to operate under a set of rules. And what we've got here, the people that we have sued are attempting to have a hostile takeover of the party. They're rogues, and they're acting illegally. So I don't think that'll take the party down. In fact, you know, it's just a good house cleaning.
Chris Troupas with us, attorney at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. So you've kind of spelled it out, though, but for those that may hear it on television or maybe glance over in the paper, what's really what's the goal of this lawsuit?
Well, you know, the goal is single-minded. You know, all the people have heard is that one faction set a meeting for August 2, the other set a meeting for August 9, ostensibly to elect new state officers, and that there's this fight over that. But it turns out that the single goal of this lawsuit is to declare that the action taken by two members of the party to illegally set up a meeting was not authorized under the rules, and that unilaterally declaring that the chairman's office is vacant 6 days before his term expires is simply illegal. It's an attempt to posture and take over the party. We want the court to assert that the rights of the delegates and the rule of law prevails.
Now, why file in Twin Falls?
Well, actually, I didn't have a choice. You have to file where one of the defendants resides. And in this case, Mike Matthews, who was the first vice chairman of the party, lives in Twin Falls and issued the call for the August 2 meeting out of Twin Falls. So it wasn't that we went forum shopping, but that's where our defendant is, and that's the proper venue under Idaho state law.
So as you've talked about here at 580KIDO, Chris Troupas, we have these dueling meetings.
That's correct.
So the advocates for the August 2nd meeting would say, well, our attorney has said this, the National Party has said this, and this is how it's going to be.
Yeah, the problem with that is a couple things. First, under the rules, only the chairman can call a special meeting of the Central Committee. So when they called the August 2 meeting, they predicated it by saying, we don't have a chairman. But they called it on June 23. Now, the chairman was originally elected June 24, 2012, for a two-year term. So on June 23, 2014, he's still the chairman. You can't. The first vice chairman can only call a meeting in the event there's a vacancy in the chairman's office. So he called a meeting while we still had a chairman, which means his meeting is illegal under the rules. But there's a more important point, Kevin, and that's this. The chairman's call of a meeting was to, or allows the Central Committee to determine or to review the Rules Committee determination that there was a re-election of all the officers at the state convention. The Rules Committee met on June 19, and they represented all seven regions of the state. They decided we had re-elected new officers, and so Chairman Peterson's call for the meeting says Central Committee will first look at the Rules Committee's decision and accept or reject it. Only if they reject it will they elect new officers. This illegal call of a meeting presumes that we have no officers, doesn't give the Central Committee the right to look at that Rules Committee determination, but simply goes right ahead to an election of new officers. In other words, it takes the power away from the Central Committee, takes the power, nullifies the delegates' vote. That's a violation of due process.
Chris Troupas with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. Chris, why is this important to, you know, people that are worried about their beer in the refrigerator and their gas in their four-wheeler?
You know what? I think it's important because political parties, like them or not, they are the bulwark of the republic. They are what allows people to gather together and have a voice. And what's happening here, what we represent, is that the 527 common delegates, the people who were elected in their respective counties and communities who went to the convention, they're us. And here we have a few members of the establishment who are trying to say, you know what, we know what you did at the convention, but forget that. We can just control the party and we can decide how to run government. It's like, you know, go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country. I think it's important that the people take back their government.
Chris, I don't know if you can take off your attorney hat for a minute, if that's possible at 580KIDO.
Okay.
And as a person that's active in the party, as a person who ran for office, who spent a lot of his money to make a difference, where are we at here?
You know, I think we are at a turning point, a tipping point, if you will. I think it's really important for us, people, that the conservatives are more involved right now in trying to take back control of their own government than ever before. And if we lose this battle, we're going to have in the fall we may have a new governor, and we'll have a new governor either way, but he may be of a different party, and Idaho may move in a different direction. But we need to have government responsive to the people, and I think this lawsuit is just an indicator of that. It's an indicator of the problems we have here in Idaho that are endemic nationwide. We're a microcosm of the rest of the country. I think we really need people need to wake up, and well, I hope this is a wake-up call.
Chris Troupas, we'll have to have you back on some other issues. We appreciate it, sir.
Hey, thank you so much, Kevin. Good to talk to you.
Take care.
You bet. Bye.
Bye-bye. There you have it, Chris Troupas. The attorney that filed that lawsuit against the state GOP.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone.
Up all night.
K. Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, much more on the Malaysian airliner. More on what's going on in Gaza. In addition to that, we'll talk about the border as well. But Jim Schmelich joins us now. He ran for lieutenant governor. He's a great guy. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you today?
Not bad. I wanted to talk to you about the Boulder White Cloud situation. What are your thoughts on it?
Oh, my thoughts are the last thing we need is another national monument set up in our state. We have plenty of national monuments. We have plenty of wilderness in the state of Idaho. And you're just going to wrap up another great potential of an economic engine that could really do wonderful things for this state by doing something like this. And there's more and more reason why I insist we need to get our lands back, and Idaho needs to be in charge of its lands.
You know, I think I talked to you about this before, but the other day my parents were in town, so I played them the gubernatorial debate where you had Walt from Emmett, who calls into the program. You had Russ Fulcher, Senator Fulcher. You had Harley Brown before he got his reality show, all advocating, as you have, to get the lands back. And the governor saying, look, I wish you well, but it's just not possible.
You know, it's a shame the governor doesn't want to engage in a fight. It's a shame we have a governor who very often likes to quote the Constitution, very often likes to, use these, I call it, talking the talk, but it's time we started walking the walk. And then we have an attorney general who says, we forever disclaim all right and title to our land, not understanding what that part of our enabling language says, which is basically saying, look, we are quit claiming this land to you back to you because you agreed to dispose of it, because that's what it further says in our enabling language. But they don't want to go down that road, and they don't want to do that battle. And we have to ask ourselves the question, why the difference? Why do 12 states in the West not have their land the way the other 38 states were afforded? And all the enabling documents of all those states say almost exactly the same things, yet they have their land and we don't.
Right. Of course, they've got probably a stronger lobby than we do.
I don't know if they have a stronger lobby. I don't know if we don't have people who have the who want to garner the knowledge of what these people went through to get their land, because they had to fight for it too. The Congress reluctantly gave in and said, okay, yeah, you guys are right. And it took them a long time, and those battles started in the back in the 1800s, and they persisted in what they did, and we need to do the same thing. I think one of the biggest challenges we face, though, is you have a very apathetic public who is scared a little bit about moving forward on things, like who don't understand the potential of what you can do with this land inside your state, and that we could manage these lands to our benefit, and that they were managed to our benefit before, and with probably less people than what they're what's being done with right now. And as we're sitting here, we're watching right now. I've got fires in Idaho County. You've got the fires in Eastern Washington. And I'm completely surrounded by smoke where I live today. And yesterday, it's actually clearing off a little bit. We got a little bit of wind. But what are we doing? Why aren't we recognizing the potential we have to fund our schools, fund our roads, fund our government, potential lower taxes for the people in the state of Idaho? Yet we're not going down these roads. We're not looking at this from a positive aspect. We're not looking at this from the aspect of what we can do. We're simply saying, oh, we can't do it. Well, I don't buy those things. With that kind of attitude, we'd never put a man on the moon, Kevin.
Well, Jim, let's continue on here at 580KIDO. So you're working with the American Lands Council and others, and we did have that big meeting in Salt Lake a few months ago, and you have other states being proactive. I mean, if the feds take over this new monument, what is it, going to push us up to 70% eventually? I mean, will they just take over the state?
You know, that's where they're headed. It really looks like it, Kevin. And the American Lands Council is now gaining a lot of steam. We had budget discussions in our county last week, and we've budgeted another $5,000 for next year to help the American Lands Council. My hope is I can get more counties in the state to do that, but right now it's hard to get these counties to step up to the plate because of how their budgets look. And I'm telling them, you guys need to start reallocating some resources to help this organization out, because they are gaining steam. They have been getting a lot of contributions are starting to come in now. It's been a tough road to hoe in the beginning, But, you know, there are really people are starting to recognize the potential and the reasons why we have to do this. So I'm encouraging other counties to do that. We're also trying to stay active. I appreciate the fact that you've given me a call this morning and asked you to come on and talk about these things. So we're working real diligently on those things and pushing those things forward.
What are your thoughts about the state of the Republican Party? We just had Barry Peterson on, the chairman, talking about the lawsuit that was filed yesterday in Twin Falls. You ran, you sacrificed, you spent more than you had. Now you're back into the civilian world, but you're still active. What's going on?
I think what's going on is you have a complete, in my mind, you have a complete lack of leadership coming out of the governor's office. I see a complete lack of leadership coming out of a lot of the elected officials across the state at the what I would call the national level. The only one I see really stepping up to the plate and trying to make a difference is Raul Labrador. I think you have them ignoring the grassroots. I think that's a real shame. The grassroots are what make this party work. It makes anything work. And these people have stepped up to the plate. You know, I saw a few things floated back and forth on the internet that said, okay, you guys want a compromise, we'll give you a compromise. You know, we'll pull out the issue we have over the 17th Amendment. We'll pull out this going back to the gold standard. But we want you guys to also say, hey, let's get out of this health care, this Obamacare, let's fight it. Let's get our lands back. You know, let's kick the Common Core out. But you see no movement from the other side. It's becoming our way or the highway before I see what I call the otter side of the party. And I'm getting really tired of it. I really am. I asked the governor for a little bit of help up here. We had the we're dealing with the EPA on the issues with the dredge minings in our state, and I asked the governor for some help on that. I made a phone call. I talked to him personally. I sent some an email what I'd asked him, what I would like him to do for us concerning this issue. I never got a response back. I've got hardworking people who are making a difference and changing their making their lifestyles better, and then we're going to have this opportunity yanked out from underneath us and an ability to make a living. So where the Republican Party is today, I think it's deeply divided in this state, and I don't see movement coming from the other side. I do see what I would call the conservative wing willing to make some moves in the direction they'd like to see things go. But at the same time, they've got to come to where the grassroots of this organization are, and I just don't see it. And it's a real shame. The governor has a golden opportunity to lead here. Senator Craper has a golden opportunity to lead. But what's he do? He donates $5,000 at the Thad Cochran's campaign in Mississippi. One of the most liberal senators in the Senate votes mostly with the Democrats, and that's the type of stuff we're getting out of our established Republicans. So I find it disturbing. And it's kind of what happened. What you're seeing going on is very similar to what took place at the when this country was founded.
How do you see this playing out, this injunction against the August 2nd meeting, the August 9th meeting? Barry was on moments ago urging the governor to get involved. The governor saying, look, I don't want to get involved. Let everybody figure it out. But then he's got you know, other people involved for him. How do you see this ending?
I think if the governor were to get involved and engage in this process, we could move this ball forward. He's the governor. You want to be the governor? You know, I would simply say this. How about we start acting like the governor? Governor is a leadership position, and I don't know who's handling the case for the Republican Party. I didn't see that in any of the press releases. If it is Chris Troupas, I think they've got a darn good chance.
Yeah, Chris Troupas filed the suit yesterday.
Okay, then if Chris Troupas is leading up, Chris Troupas has beaten this attorney. This won't be against the attorney general, but I know he's beaten this attorney general four times on constitutional issues at the Supreme Court level. And Chris Troupas is a very good lawyer. He does his research, and he knows how to present a case. And I give him a really good chance. Better than 50% would be my take on it. It's also going to depend on the judges they get, which judge they get.
Is it a point, though, of and you know how this is in life and everything else, and I talk about this all the time. I had a boss say, you know, Kevin, you're right, but does it matter? Could the damage of proving that you're right be detrimental to the party, so much so that you could have Governor Belukoff or Governor Bujak?
It's possible That's a possibility. That's why I think the governor, our current sitting governor, needs to be the one to step up and say, wait a minute, why are we suing inside our own party? Let's take a look. Okay, what are the grassroots asking for? What are we asking for, and where can we meet on this? The governor needs to engage in this process. He can't be sitting on the sidelines. He's the governor. That's the leadership position. I believe if the governor were to step up, he could unite this party tomorrow if he wanted to. And there's just three key issues that are surrounding this whole thing when it comes to the Common Core, health care, and our public lands. And we need to get some movement on those and start agreeing that those three things are worth fighting for. Our kids are worth fighting for on these issues, because that's what we're really talking about here, is our children and the next generation and what we're going to leave them. And the governor has a golden opportunity, and it's a shame he won't step up and do it.
Well, Jim, we appreciate it. We'd love to have you back sometime. Thank you for joining us.
You bet, Kevin. You guys have a great day, man. Have a good one.
All right. Take care now. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Men, 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 manly men.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Dave Burnett with us. It's the Manly Man Show, the Manly Man segment. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
So, your weekend, how was it?
You know, it's actually a pretty quiet weekend. Not a whole lot of activities going on. Very nice. Got a chance to get a little yard work in this weekend. Did a couple activities. It was really a pretty calm weekend. Very nice.
Well, that is good. Of course, the weather wasn't too bad. We had a lot of things going on. I got lost in Ann Morrison Park.
What part of the park did you get lost in?
Well, I was looking for timber shelter or something like that.
Well, part of the problem was you didn't know the name of it, and that always kind of slows you down from getting there.
Well, and then I had a lot of flashbacks of the original Boise Music Festival. I think we did, the first 2 years there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the last time I'd been there. So I was walking around Ann Morrison Park looking for this thing on Saturday, the Paddle Out Cancer thing, and I went to the Settlers Bridge and walked around, and I walked all over the park. Then I couldn't find it, and then I heard music, and I know they were playing music, but it was like after an hour and a half of walking, or maybe literally 30 minutes of actual walking for me, but it seemed like an hour and a half.
Wow.
I just couldn't find it, so I just got my Peterson Toyota Prius and went home.
Just, that's enough of that. I'm out of here.
That was enough of that. Exactly. So I'll have to send our friend Nicole an apology. But I did try to find it. I just couldn't. So,
huh?
Best intentions. But I thought of you and all the people floating the river and all that. And you keep going, Kevin, you need to do something with your life. You need to float the river. And I go, yeah, you're right.
I don't think I've ever told you to float the river, though.
Well, you said, are you going to float the river? And go, I'm not floating the river. We had Sally from the country station down the hall. Mm-hmm. She almost got it from floating the river.
Did she?
Yeah, she actually did. She almost drowned. And that's the funny thing. Why would you mix alcohol and water?
I'm sure she probably didn't, because that'd be against the law.
Not her per se, but I'm saying other people that you see, man, hey, we're floating the river, woohoo! And they have like their bottle of Bud or something like that. You're like, mm-hmm. A lot of families, a lot of... good folks, it was like a unique subculture I was exposed to, and I go, wow, there's another world out here. And I thought to myself, you know, I bet if I had a recorder, I could put it on the web. hey, Cactus.
Hey, you might have wanted to pick one up.
And I could have asked everybody, who was Dick Cheney, who was Joe Biden, who's Putin, spell Putin, all those sorts of things. Darn it. I wasn't thinking of content when I was allegedly working.
You could have gone out and said, what do you think of Barry Peterson's lawsuit?
Yes, exactly.
And they would have gone, huh?
Here's $100 if you can spell A.J. Belukov. Well, it's not really $100, but it's a phony $100.
Sure. It's got a picture of you on it.
I was going to say it's got a picture of Dave Burnett on it, but you beat me to it.
No, I see. I was just that much faster.
Oh, my goodness. So we've got that going on. I'm dedicating this program today to James Garner.
Yep, one of the truly great actors.
You know, people ever wonder what it's like to be a talk show host? Here's a clip.
This is Jim Rockford. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you. Jim, it's Norma at the market. It bounced. You want us to tear it up, send it back, or put it with the other?
Hey, Jim, this is Louie down at the fish market. You gonna pick up these halibut or what?
Hey, Rockford, very funny. I ain't laughing. You're gonna get yours.
It's Maury. Got a call from Davis at the IRS. You were right. They bounced your return. Call.
It was so sarcastic. The Rockford Files, and of course Maverick and other movies. And he worked until his 80s. He died at 86. But when you think of James Garner, now I will give you the edge on this one, because the Rockford Files were on every Friday night on NBC. And did you watch them as a kid?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yep. Rockford Files, and I remember the reruns of Maverick. My mom was a big Maverick fan, and I remember watching the reruns of that, which I think was his first TV thing.
The guy didn't start acting until he was 25. He, in fact, was a Korean War veteran, two Purple Hearts, and he was really the... People talk about Clint Eastwood, and yeah, in the movies, as the anti-hero, but really Jim Rockford, with his Camaro, really personified, I think, the era's anti-hero, if you will.
Yeah, and then he also starred in what I would say probably one of the best chick flicks out there, The Notebook.
Now, that's a Nicholas Sparks book, right? Or is that The Other Notebook?
Maybe that's The Other Notebook? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I can't be honest, so I can't answer that question. I just know it's one of those things. It was a chick flick, but turned out to be a very good movie.
Hmm.
Yeah, so if anyone ever tries, have you seen it?
I have. I've interviewed the author of The Notebook.
I was going to say, if Daisy wants to see a chick flick, get The Notebook.
I'll get right on that.
Mm-hmm, because it's a chick flick, but guys like it.
By the way, have you noticed the governor has stepped up his personal appearances?
Yeah. I know he did the Powerball drawing over the weekend out of the Idaho Center, which I thought to myself that if somebody from Idaho would have won the Powerball on Saturday, it would have looked rigged, wouldn't it?
That's why you bought tickets and I bought tickets.
Of course, well, I buy every Saturday. It's my retirement program.
I see.
I listen to Dave Pezzo, and then I go buy a lottery ticket.
I get depressed after Pezzo because of what I should be doing. Yes.
Yeah,
and
people scream on Dave Ramsey, I'm debt-free, and I'm going, shut up.
Shut up. No, it's just kind of funny when you said that. That is, yeah, but back to, now you threw me off, though, but we went out and bought lottery tickets because I go, well, it'd be nice if we won and we're from Idaho and all that. And I thought that was a significant big deal that Powerball came in and actually did the national broadcast. Remember Mark Johnson doing a good job, as always.
He didn't have his shirt tucked in. I was wondering what was going on with that.
That's the West look.
That is not the West look.
That is the West look. When I came out here, no one has their shirts tucked in.
No, but not at the rodeo, buddy. You're tucked in. You got a long sleeve shirt on. In fact, they don't even allow you in a PRCA sanctioned event. You can't even get in the arena without a long sleeve shirt.
That is correct, though. When you're talking about the rodeo, everybody does have the long sleeve shirts, and everybody's tucked in.
You can't get in the arena
except Mark.
Yeah, he was all untucked. I wasn't sure what that was all about.
Well, you know, he's a fly guy.
I guess so.
Now I've got another suggestion for you here.
Mm-hmm.
At 580 KIDO. Now, as we get ready for college football, first of all, have you heard anything about Coach Pete, what's going on in Washington? My dad asked me about that, and my dad's very upset because Coach Pete has left Boise. Very what? Upset. And I go,
really?
Well, I said the gig's up. He goes, no, he promised us he wasn't going to leave. I go, you live in New Hampshire.
He never promised he wouldn't leave.
Well, look, I'm just the messenger. And I go, well, he wanted to compete at a higher level. And my dad, he loves this area. This is where he vacations. He comes out for the Snake River Stampede, was giving me the tongue lashing last night about Coach Pete. And I go, well, he's in the Pac-12 now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wondered, since, you know, you talk to Coach Pete and you know all the players and, you know, his former players that are here, you know, have you heard anything out of Washington?
From what I hear, it's going well over there. He's just keeping a low profile, doing his thing. We'll see what happens. He had a quarterback that he had to deal with that had some problems. But, you know, I think they'll do okay the first season. I think they'll do well. And they'll give him 2 years. That's what Washington, they'll give him 2 years. If he doesn't show a lot of progress in 2 years, they'll torch him.
Yeah, but you kind of look at Peterson just as the coach, and now he's reinvigorated and everything else. He's got to be better than Sarkisian, who did okay.
Oh, yeah.
So based on that, you got to figure, and I'm trying to think of who's the power in the Pac-12. I know USC has a new coach now. But I'm trying to think Oregon.
I think it would be Oregon.
I still think Oregon's going through some rough times without Chip Kelly.
If Chris Peterson goes in and he does know how to beat Oregon, he's done it twice when he's at Boise State. If Chris Peterson can beat Oregon and Washington State, which shouldn't be an issue, he's good.
Right?
He'll be good. I mean, that will make that'll make the dog pound happy.
I'm such a dummy. Sarkisian's the head football coach at USC.
Yeah, he left Washington to go to USC.
Yeah, so I'm going, who's the football coach? What a dope.
Yeah.
So he
went down there.
So I've got another proposal for you.
Okay.
So I've been doing a lot of listening to radio over the weekend because, you know, that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a proposal now by June Jones. He was talking to a Dallas radio station. Ooh, Dallas radio station. Ooh, big time. And he said that if you're not in the Power Five, schools like the Mountain West, the MAC, blah, 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 mm-hmm. Sun Belt, they should go back to the old XFL, USFL spring football model. I wondered what you thought of that.
No. No. I think it's ridiculous. Where's June Jones? What's he doing now?
He's the coach at SMU.
Oh, there you go. No, it would be ridiculous. I have my theories, and you and I have discussed this. I have issues with college football as it is and what the NFL is doing. High school football belongs on Friday night. College football belongs on Saturday afternoon, a little bit into Saturday evening, and NFL belongs on Sunday and Monday night. That is my feelings on that. College football belongs in the fall and in the spring? No.
Well, if you're going to get squeezed out, which allegedly that's about ready to happen, because of the Power Five, if you will, why not go somewhere and get your own TV deal and start in the spring?
Okay, you want to try to get people to come to Bronco Stadium in June?
I'll be there. Well, I'll be watching on TV.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. I mean, football, I mean, oh, yeah, that is a good model. How was the USFL last year?
The USFL last year?
Yeah.
That wasn't on.
Oh, what was the other league he wanted to put in?
The XFL.
How'd they do last year?
Not too well.
I rest my case. That's not where it belongs. And we've just about stretched it out to that anyway, but that's not where it belongs. I mean, I'm sorry, Super Bowl doesn't belong in February. It belongs the last week into January.
Well, being a selfish football fan that I am, see, I think it would give those programs more exposure. We'd have year-round football, and thankfully we wouldn't have to watch the men's basketball tournament, the NBA, or anything else. It would be football, football, football. And then you can wonder, what if the champion of the Little Five went up against the Big Five? I don't know.
How could you do that if you're at opposite end of the clock?
I know. I was just thinking that after I said it. Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, that's a duh statement.
It's a duh Monday for me at 580 KIDO. But back to the
Sarkisian's still at USC, by the way.
I really like the USFL. I remember as a kid watching it. The style of play obviously wasn't up to NFL standards, but I like the concept of spring football. I went to couple USFL games, couple XFL games. Whew, those cheerleaders should have been outlawed. But regardless of that, I just think that it's football is that popular you could go year round.
No.
Well, what happens? Well, what happens if the Big Five keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and wipe out the Little Five?
They won't wipe them out.
Well,
it won't wipe them out.
It's an arms race.
You know, I mean, that would be like saying, I'm sorry, Division II football's gone. It doesn't wipe it out.
I would put Division II football there or Division III football.
You know, it doesn't wipe it out. It alters it. It changes it. I mean, you suddenly, you know, I mean, it would alter it, but it doesn't wipe it out.
I got another one for you here at 580KIDO. You ever have a good idea that somebody scammed?
Yes, the internet. Doggone them.
I was, I wanted to do a documentary. And you know me, I always come up with a lot of great ideas. Do I not?
You come up with some good ideas, yeah.
That I never follow through on. Mm-hmm. So one of them was, I was going to do a documentary. This was like 7 years ago on how easy it was to cross the border. And I was going to go to like all these border places and go, look, I'm in Canada. Look, I'm in Mexico. Look, I'm in America.
Have you ever been to Mexico?
No.
Oh, how's that documentary going? So you've never gotten a tourist card or punched your visa into Mexico?
I'm afraid to go to Mexico.
How about Canada? You been there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
I've done some military time in Canada.
Okay.
So I'm sitting here watching Jorge Ramos, I believe his name is, from Univision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the good-looking guy with the silver hair, the silver-tongued ladies' man, if you will. Good-looking guy. And so what he did is he swam across the Rio Grande because he's a big amnesty advocate. And I thought, you know, I had that idea like 27 years ago just to see how easy it is
to get across the border. Going from the U.S. to Mexico? You mean illegal or going
he
through
He went illegally.
Mm-hmm.
According to elite law enforcement sensitive El Paso intelligence report, blah, blah, blah. Official cited Univision, one of the outlets that helped shape the perception of U.S. immigration policy. 219 of the 230 migrants came to America because they thought that they would receive permisos that would allow them to remain indefinitely in the United States. Thank you, Univision.
Hmm.
So we have Jorge Ramos tweeting, swimming the Rio Grande following the journey of Central American children. Soon on this. And then he's got the tunnel and everything else. And you just really wonder the grave disservice that this is being done to these kids. And you as a parent, you as a grandparent, no matter how horrible the situations would be, would you ever let a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 12-year-old leave your home without any adult supervision to travel thousands of miles?
No. Not a chance.
Yeah, I think what we don't know is there's some type of official, whether it's a railroad or railway or something, where they put their kids on. I can't believe that they're walking unaccompanied that far.
Yeah, no, you know, I don't understand that. I know there are some people that will, you know, an aunt or an uncle will go with them up until they get to the border. Then it's kind of like, oh, go, you know. So I know that's taking place. So it's for a lot of them, they're not going by themselves. That or a friend will take them, then they shoo them across. And then a lot of these, quote, unquote, kids are 16, 17 years old. They're not kids. You know, they're teens, almost there. Or tweeners, as it were.
Before we go there, tweener, how about this? A new millionaire, billionaire, whatever his name is, calling for a 3-day work week. Could you imagine?
No, I wouldn't like that.
You wouldn't?
No, I would not like that. Don't want a 3-day work week. I go nuts after about 3 days.
How about a 7-day work week?
No. Got to have a 3-day weekend would be awesome. Four days on, three days off.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
4 and 3 would be awesome. I'd be good with that. Kevin, speaking of working, as people head on in to work on your traffic now, getting
Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
Hey, Jimmy, it's Scott Lou. Going to be in town a couple of days. No, you won't mind putting us up. It's just me and Aunt Sissy and BJ and the kids and little Freddy.
Jim, it's Beth. You have the vet's number, the flea collar, and extra litter. One thing I forgot, keep him away from other cats. He's not very discriminating.
There we have it, remembering one of Hollywood's brightest stars dead at 86, James Garner. Kevin Miller with you here in the morning, 580 KIDO. And if you've never seen the Rockford Files, go to YouTube, check it out. You can take a look at the KIDO AM Boise or the 580 KIDO Facebook, and we've got some of the best answering machine messages. And who would think in this instant gratification, this ADD world, that answering machine messages would be so creative. But check those out as well. Let's get you to work safely and on time. That's concerning the battle for the border. Also, the Russia's reaction to the plane being shot down. A lot going on. Keep it here. Stay informed. 580 KIDO. Good morning.
Serving Meridian.